Congratulations to Woman of Achievement for 2019, Kayla McAllister, being honored in the area of social enterprise. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. I'm still in shock.
You are still in shock. I was going to ask you, how did you find out and what was your reaction?
Well, I got a phone call from the Women of Achievement and telling me that I've been accepted, and I couldn't even talk for 2 days. It was such a shock.
Well, I have so much to tell the people about you, and it starts with you being a Buddhist priest. How long have you been a Buddhist priest?
I ordained in 2009, and then I Dharma transmitted in 2012, which is the next step up.
And how does one get to the next step up? What did you do to achieve that?
It's just study under a
mm-hmm.
teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Off.
Well, one of the reasons that you're being honored for social enterprise is what you have done to help the homeless. Talk to me about how you began that journey in the first place and why.
Okay, more people in prison rather than the homeless. As a Buddhist priest, I looked around and I saw some injustice, and I decided to work with people in prison. So I started as a volunteer and worked about seven and a half years as a volunteer in most of the eastern prisons in Missouri, the state prisons. Then an opening came up in Farmington for a chaplain, and I applied, and after a little bit, I got it. So I was at Farmington as a prison chaplain for 5.5 years.
Was that before you became a Buddhist?
No, that was after I became a Buddhist.
So you took meditation into the prison?
I did as a volunteer, but as a chaplain, you're over all the religions.
Right, okay. So we'll talk about those separately then. What was it like? How was that received, meditation in the prison?
Oh, most of the prisons I worked in were men's prisons, and it was highly received. The men really liked having that quiet time. In prison, it's very noisy, and just to sit there and kind of collect your thoughts and let your thoughts go and be peaceful, they just loved it.
It was something that they likely hadn't had in their lives.
Right. And most of them, I would say like very few of them were Buddhist originally. And, you know, so we made a joke about it. We found something in common. And we made a joke about it, and I said, okay, if you're a Christian, we'll call you a Kribu. If you're Jewish, we'll call you a Jubu. If you're Native American, we'll call you a Nabu. And if you're a true Buddhist, I'll call you a Boo-Boo, you know?
What change did you see in them because of the meditation?
I think they became quieter and more thoughtful of the people around them. You know, they would walk away from fights. They would try to share more, you know, listen to people.
And go ahead.
Big changes.
And you know, do you think it's still underway with the, I mean, you're not the chaplain anymore. Is it still happening?
It is. Buddhism wasn't accepted, you know, 15 years ago in Missouri State Prisons. So that was the first thing I did. I went to Jefferson City and with a bunch of other local Buddhist, and we asked that Buddhism be recognized in the state of Missouri, and it was made made possible. And so there are different Buddhist groups meeting. I think there's 21 or 22 state prisons, and Buddhism is offered in all of them now.
A person could serve in a, people do serve in a lot of different ways. Why did you choose inmates? Why did you choose prison?
There was something about the energy that attracted me, and that's really hard to explain, but, you know, there's a realism in prison that there isn't so much on the outside. People are really reflecting their lives. Not everyone, of course, but those who are serious are reflecting their lives, and they're very honest about their lives. You know, there's not a lot of hiding things and, you know, this didn't really happen and, you know, all that. And I really appreciated that.
Almost a lot. It sounds like you're saying a lot of authentic behavior, a lot of authentic personality being shown, authentic character being shown.
Yeah, you know, and a humor about themselves, too.
And so the Laughing Bear Bakery.
Yes.
Something you decided you wanted to found. Were you a baker in the first place?
No, actually, my background is in chemistry, and I never worked in chemistry, though, but I love to bake. I cannot cook. If you ask me to cook you a meal, you're in trouble. But I love to bake. It's really connected with chemistry. But I made a promise when I was retiring from prison in 2015 that I would find something that anyone could do. You know, coming out of prison, it's hard to get a job. You've got a record. No one wants to interview you. You know, you're probably your applications are put at the bottom of the pile. The jobs that are available are mostly like dirty jobs, you know, where it's heavy work. And not everyone in prison is, you know, the stereotype are these big buff guys. So, and that's really not true. And so I wanted a job that would be fun, would be delicious, and would be something that even like a weak type person could do, you know, physically disabled person or anything like that, that we could do. And that's what we're doing. We're only, right now we're only operating 3 days a week. We want to get to 5 days a week. It's distribution. We're trying to get our products out there. And we are, we're in a lot of different stores, Straub's, Smokehouse, Local Harvest. We just started a new one at Webster Garden today. It's a little coffee house. It's beautiful. Augustine Market, I think. Different places were available.
And what should I get? What should I get when I go?
Okay. One of the favorite products is something called Bear Candy.
Bear Candy.
Bear Candy, and it's a puffed corn. There's no kernel in it. And it's coated with caramel, and we bake it 3 times, and it just melts in your mouth, and people love it. And jokingly, we call it crack, because... No. You can't stop eating it. You know, people come to the bakery to take a tour, and we put some bear candy out, and it kind of like, they don't want to seem like they're eating too much, but they just can't stop eating it. You know, it's great.
So when I think of the Laughing Bear Bakery, I do not think of candy.
This isn't a real candy. It's a puffed corn, like popcorn.
Ah, okay. Okay. I thought you were going to tell me like a bear claw or a...
So we do have a lot of bear names in our products.
and talk to me too about the notion of volunteering in the first place, the idea of doing something, you know, bigger than yourself, for people other than yourself, really, because you are definitely a resource. Why have you done it all these years, and then what is your encouragement to people who might be on the fence about volunteering, who might think they don't have enough time or enough talent or enough resources to do so?
You know, it's amazing, like, when you think about life, you know, I'm getting pretty old now, but when you reflect back on life, there's really nothing you can hold on to in life. Everything will go away. Everything's impermanent. You know, it's just this moment. And when you volunteer and you do something and you reach out to other people, other experiences, that's something that's touching the whole world. You know, I may only touch about 3 or 4 people, but that's 3 or 4 people that may not commit a crime that would hurt a family, that would hurt, you know, all the people involved in that family. It just spreads out. And you start doing it, and it's not so much you feel wonderful. It's not a self thing. It's looking at the world in a bigger picture. Like, what can we do to help each other? We're all stuck here together. Let's do something to help each other.
Kaylin McAllister, being honored as a woman of achievement in the area of social enterprise. She happens to be a Buddhist priest in St. Louis. Kaylin, congratulations to you.
Thank you so much.